For those that don't know me, my name's Tim. My dad's a Chinese man, and his last name is Sun, so my last name is Sun. And so that's a bit of an icebreaker normally when I was sharing with people or when we go up Queen Street, sometimes talk to them and introduce myself, and they'd laugh and we'd have a little chat about Jesus. But I'll just have a word of prayer before we start and just share quickly about passion for souls and what God's done and been doing in my life, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement. So just a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this afternoon for Jesus. We thank you that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He sees the end from the beginning, and he is worthy to be praised. We give you the glory, and we pray that you'll inspire us, that we will see him today. We'll see you, Jesus, in a fresh way, in a way where our hearts will be lifted up to you, Lord, in worship, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I thought I'd just sort of start off with a verse that means a lot to me at the moment. And it's a verse that's where Paul is speaking. And it's found in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. And it says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. That is, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." And this verse is really registering with me at the moment. Paul's come to a place where he's like, my life actually means nothing to me except for what God has given me to do. And this means everything to me. It's like he's found why he's been born, why he's found why he was created. God's planted something in his heart, and he's like, there is nothing better than this. My heart is totally overwhelmed by this. And he's talking about here what God calls is the good news. And as far as God's concerned, that's good news for all people. And it's about the wonderful grace of God, the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. And just to, I'll sort of come back to that, but giving a bit of background about me, I grew up in church, same church as Michael. In fact, we're really close, and we journeyed together, really, in a lot of our thinking, and we discuss and debate things in the Bible, and just both of us had a seeking heart for, okay, where's the reality? And as we grew up, we heard all the Bible stories. I know for me, I heard them, and I heard about the Old Testament stories, Noah and the Ark, and all these different, you know, stories from Daniel, the prophets, Jesus, the apostles. Every Sunday, there was a new story to be heard. And so you grow up in church hearing so much. And then when you get to sort of the teenage years, you're sort of trying to find yourself, and you're sort of thinking, okay, now who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? What's life about? And you start having your own questions, and in the meantime, everything else is happening in your body, and there's just so many questions, so many things that you can experience, that you're in a place where you're like, okay, what's real? And I know for my life, I would begin, I guess, living a double life. I was like, okay, in church I'd be really... look really good as a church boy on the outside, knew all the words and the phrases, but when I was outside of the church, I'd be thinking and doing other things and giving into temptation and experimenting and all those sorts of things. But I soon very quickly found that I was not at peace within myself, and I didn't have the meaning to life, and I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that there were things in my life that were not right, and I was afraid. I didn't have confidence in life. And I had many questions. And as time went on, God began to work in my heart, and he began to show me that I needed him. But I was like, cool, where are you? Who is this God anyway? And how can it be real in my life? How can it be relevant to me? And I began to ask these questions in my heart from a sincere heart. And I bought myself a little Bible and began to read it. And I didn't understand a whole lot, to be honest. But I would just read it as much as I could, and tried to get as much as I could out of it. And there's a cool verse in the Bible, God was true to his promise, that says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, and he will reveal himself to you. And the Holy Spirit revealed basically one thing to me. That is, faith in Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate, the thing that God revealed to me. And just about everything else is like, that fits way out. That's kind of like an effect, but Faith in Jesus Christ is the key thing, that Jesus alone is awesome. And in this sort of thing, in this journey, it's like, I've got a quote here actually from Oswald Chambers I might read, and he's like saying this, he's saying, well, when you think about everything that you can talk about as a Christian and all these different theologies and all the things that we can name and all the things that we can expound on, Oswald Chambers says this, he says, restate to yourself what you believe and then do away with as much of it as possible and then get back to the bedrock of the cross of Christ, that Jesus is the center, that everything comes from him. And it's almost like God takes us through this journey in Scripture. We've got the Old Testament. The Bible's a massive book, and it's been written over, I think, like 1,400 years by about 40 different authors over three continents. And so it's a massive collaboration of books. But God has a journey that he's bringing us on. And it's almost like the Old Testament is kind of like God is revealing himself bit by bit. And it's like as more gets revealed about who he is, God reveals himself slowly, slowly, bit more. It's like a painting, a big grand painting, and this painting's getting sort of filled out, and you're beginning to see some sort of form and some shape. And as the painting gets more and more detailed, you can sort of see more and more of what it's making out. And so here's God revealing himself in different ways. He's got all these names that he gives himself over and over, Jehovah Jireh, and all of these different names, Yahweh, and all these different names that sort of come through as the journey goes on. And as time gets on, it's almost like the religious people take this and they add stuff to it, and adding. And then by the time Jesus gets to the scene, it's like this is painting, but the people don't actually recognize what's in the picture. And when Jesus comes, it's actually a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus, but the people don't recognize it. They don't recognize him. But the whole of the Old Testament leads to one person. It is Christ. He is the glorious one. He is the full revelation to man about who God is. He reveals exactly what God is like. If God was to come down and he was to be among us, and how he would act, how he would relate, this is who Jesus is. And so Jesus shows the highest forms of justice. He shows the highest forms of mercy, of grace, of love. He shows these incredible things. And this is God revealing himself to us. And the cool thing is that it comes to the Apostle Paul. And he's saying this. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, or my physical life, I live by faith in the Son of God. So there's this phrase again. It's faith in Jesus Christ. He says, I live my life alone by faith in Jesus Christ. Everything comes from God through Jesus by faith. And he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's like I was saying, all through this journey that God has shown, suddenly this revelation, Paul was totally learned from the Scriptures. He knew all the Old Testament back to front. And this revelation finally came, Jesus. And when that happened, his whole world turned upside down. And it was like when Jesus was coming, he was walking around and he was talking to the Pharisees. And he's like, you searched the Scriptures, but you've missed it. It's really about me. And the road to Emmaus, there's these two disciples, and Jesus is walking with them. And they're like saying, oh, we thought that, you know, he would bring in, usher in the kingdom of God and would defeat the Romans and all of that. And then Jesus is like, well, you know, foolish of heart and slow to believe all that the prophets have written. And he started from Moses, which would have been Genesis, and he expounded the Scriptures concerning himself and all the sufferings that he would come to, and that he would do that for us. And here is the pivotal point of history, not only in humankind and in time, but from eternity past to eternity future. Jesus dying on the cross is going to be forever the thing that is going to be worthy of worship for God. This is the high point for God. And this is the point where we get to play a part in establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And it's awesome that we get to be part of that. It's glorious. And here we have Jesus, as I was saying, on the road to Emmaus, expounding all these Scriptures. And he's saying, this is me. This is Jesus. This is me. And all of a sudden, they saw it and they recognized it. And the same thing with Philip the evangelist. There was a eunuch who was traveling and he was up on his chariot. And he was reading through Isaiah 53 and he was confused. And here comes Philip the evangelist, who's led by the Spirit, and went up, ran up beside him and said, do you need help? And And he says, yeah, I don't understand this. And so he's like, who is this speaking about? And it says from that scripture, he preached Jesus. And starting with that scripture, and then he just preached Jesus, and suddenly the revelation was there. And that revelation of Jesus became so strong in Paul's life that it compelled him, it made him, it just pushed him forward to share the gospel in any way he could. He was like, I want Christ to be magnified in my body, to live as Christ and to die as gain. There is nothing else in life more important than revealing Jesus in my life. I want him to take over. I want him to come in. I want his love to fill me and reach people, because this love that God has sent and put in Jesus, it is so big, it's so powerful, it passes knowledge, it is higher than we can imagine, it is wider, it's unsearchable. And the Bible says, Paul says, that I want you to understand this love so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And when that fullness of God is flowing through your life, it's like a mighty river, a mighty ocean. And that love will compel us to do just about anything. And I sometimes read about these different missionaries, and I think, how can they do these things? But the love of Christ, the revelation of Jesus, has infused them so much that they are going out with power, and they are energized to love. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He came down, and he showed us that God is love in a very powerful and tangible way, and that he plants that love into us. And that's where the Apostle Paul says, well, that's where, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And this verse here in Galatians, I live by faith in the Son of God, his love for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that was kind of his propelling motor. And that's where the passion for souls comes from. I've written here, revelation of Jesus is the secret of having a passion of saving, for saving souls. As we see Jesus, that will compel us. The love that he has for us. And this is the love and the revelation that Paul had. And this is the revelation that we begin to have as we open up our hearts to God. And the Holy Spirit does this very thing. He declares Jesus to us. He declares how wonderful he is and all the things that God has got for us through Jesus Christ. And the thing is that he invests heavily into us. When Jesus died on that cross, he wasn't just giving out of his abundance. The Bible says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor. He became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And so, Jesus Christ has invested everything, dying on that cross for me. He's done that for me. And because of he's invested so heavily into me, God is, he's wanting me to naturally invest into others. That love that God has invested into me is going to fill me up so much, it's not going to be hard. It's going to be like natural to just have compassion for people. As we see Jesus, that love infuses us and fills us, and we're going to want to do whatever we can to share the gospel. And it can be, I'll move into that in a second. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 9. That's the verse that I was just spoken. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes. So here it is, it's very personal. For your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty, or that you through his poverty may become rich. So if this is a very personal thing, and just like Paul said, he gave himself for me. This love was for me. And because of this, I'm giving myself back. And it's like, it's not that we first loved God, but God showed the first step and loved us with incredible amounts of love. And with that love, our natural, as we see that, we will respond and we will be worshippers. We will want to go out and we want to tell people about Jesus, about how awesome he is, about what he can do, about the mercy that he shows, about the brokenness that he heals, about the deliverance that he offers, about the freedom that there is in Christ. And we'll go out there declaring it. And Jesus was not ashamed. He was not afraid. He went out declaring freedom to the captives. He had authority talking about it. And he knew it was there. And he says to us, I'm giving you. You are coming alongside me. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And this is exactly what God is wanting to do. And he wants to invest into us. So that this is the part where actually we wanted to go. Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to sort of finish on this parable. Matt gave the title for this conference, and Passion for Saving Souls and Using Your Gifts and Talents for Advancing the Kingdom of God. I really like this parable in Luke 19. It's about the parable of the miners, and it was a weight, but it's actually, back in those days, it was all about money, and money was based on weight, not like today where it's paper, but how heavy it is how valuable it is. So, and it would be often in silver and gold, precious elements. But basically, I'm not going to go through the whole story, which Jesus was going through here, but I'm just going to go through the first part, pretty much, and I'll just read the first part, and it says here in chapter 19, verse 11, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." I was looking at that this morning, and I thought about it in a different way. It just sort of came to me that here is the people there, and they thought that God was going to bring the kingdom of God just like that, immediately, and suddenly the Romans are going to be like overthrown, and suddenly God's people are going to be there, and Jesus is going to be king, and God's kingdom is going to be ushered in just like that. But Jesus, on this point, he tells this story. And it's pretty cool because it actually includes all of us. He's saying here, in essence, I'm going to be investing into people, and we are going to establish the kingdom of God together. And it's going to be over a period of time, but I am gifting you the gifts. And it's like, Christ is the head. We are the body, it's his church, his people, and the Holy Spirit is the life of the body. Without the Spirit, there is no life. So this is what God is, what Jesus is talking about here, I believe. And he's saying here, there was a certain nobleman. He went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom to return. And he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 miners. And he said to them, "Do business till I come." So these 10 miners are pretty much what I've got in the note from my Bible here is like 3 months' wages. So it's a substantial amount, it could be about $10,000. And he said here, "Do business till I come." And he's basically saying, invest what I'm giving you. Use what I'm giving you. Now, I can draw a parallel straight away here. The amount of love that God has invested into us is enormous. In fact, like I was saying, it's unsearchable. And right through eternity, we are not going to exhaust the love of God in Christ Jesus that he demonstrated on the cross. We're going to be forever worshipping him because of that. It's going to blow our minds more and more. And as our capacity and as our understanding for God grows through eternity, we're just going to see more and more of the love of God through that. And here God has invested all of this love into us. And here he's invested, he says, I'll jump down to verse 15. "And so it was when he had returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." And so here we have these things that have been invested into us. And God's given us many gifts. He's given us abilities. He's given us all sorts of things that we can use for the kingdom of God. It might be as simple as playing some sport. It might be as simple as sharing. It could be baking something. It could be witnessing to someone on the street. It could be visiting your neighbor. There's so many ways that we can show love. But every time that we invest love into someone, we're investing what God has invested into us, into that. And the Holy Spirit can use that, and he can multiply it. I've seen it happen. And before you know it, God can be bringing other people along, and all of a sudden, this person is being mightily worked on by God's Holy Spirit, and they become Christians. This is what God can give. He's invested all of these things into us. And as we read on further, it says here, "Then he came to the first saying, 'Master, your miner has earned 10 miners.'" So that's pretty awesome. So this person was obviously, he had a revelation of what God had given him. And he was like, "I'm going to use this. I'm going to invest it into the kingdom." And this is exactly why, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, he's like saying, "Yeah, God, you're awesome. Your name is awesome. Your character is awesome." And he addresses God. And then the very next thing is, okay, now this is where my passion is. "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this is the prayer that we as God's people will pray in our lives. Not that we pray it like that, but in our hearts, that is the essence of our prayer. God, I want to see your kingdom. I want to see Jesus established. I want to see the gospel come out. I want to see your name glorified. And this is about the kingdom. So God has invested all these things so we can invest into the kingdom. And he gives us so many different areas. So in the body, there's so many things. There's fingers, there's toes, there's nails, there's hairs, there's all sorts of parts. And they all have a function and they all reveal Jesus in some sort of way. And in that way, that can be a witness to the world, establishing the kingdom of God. And that's where we all have a part to play. And we might say, well, you know, who's going to listen to me? What have I got to offer? And that's exactly what Moses said. And then what did God say back to him? He said, what's that in your hand? And that's the thing. God is saying to us, what actually have you got that you can start with? And Moses said, well, it's just a rod. It's just a simple rod. And you can get it just down, you know, in any old bush. And I'm in the desert. And that rod became a symbol of God's power. And when he went out with that rod, God worked mightily in his life. And when you have something simple in your hands, it might be as simple as just baking something. It might be as simple as just sharing something or encouraging somebody. Or you might have a gift for something. It might be speaking. It might be singing. It might be worship. It might be anything. But we can show God's love. And God says, first of all, okay, what have you got in your hand? Use that first, and then God will begin to work and develop. And these things that God has invested into you will begin to grow. And you'll have more opportunities. And these gifts that God has planted into you, you don't have to try and open the doors. The Bible says that a man's gift will make room for him, bring him before great men. So you will see God will begin to develop and establish and open doors. And God is a multiplying God. He will do things. What the Bible says, he's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working in here. The Holy Spirit establishing his kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so here we have these things that God's invested into our lives. We use them for the kingdom of God, and God begins to work in the background, and he starts to multiply and he begins to pour love into people's lives. I've written my notes here. This is what I said before, but just again establishing this. Any love that you invest into others is sowing the gospel into the lives and giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. And as you do that, these precious people will begin to experience reality in their lives through us. And it's awesome. God's kingdom being established. And I'm just going to show you a short video. One thing that I've got design training. I love art. I love design. Trained as an architect. I started my business probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And I was doing business cards and I'm building a website and I was thinking, why don't I do this for the gospel, you know, just to get it out there, you know. And so I built this website, got some help, and we designed it and made it look really, you know, aesthetic. And it came to my heart, oh, we need to get people's stories up. We need to have testimonies of how God has transformed and changed lives, because people were like, when you hear a testimony of what God's done in their lives, you can't argue with that. You know, it's like, it's real. It's something that's authentic. And so I put these, I didn't know anything about video, but support started coming around. And before I knew it, some finance was there and I'd support people and the videos just started happening. And after about, it's been now 3 years of doing on this journey, and the videos have been growing and developing, and I've got a short teaser. And we've called it hopestory.tv. We've got a new Facebook page that we launched about a week ago. And so that's developing and that's growing. But we've got these stories that are going out. And with social media, as Matt was sharing, you can just do so much with the internet that we want to push these stories out. They're very much New Zealand stories, but they're relevant to probably anybody. And get these stories out, showing what God can do in people's lives. And it's pretty amazing when I hear these different stories. It's just like, wow, God, you are amazing what you do in people's lives. Bringing deliverance and healing. So I'm just going to show this, and then and that's me. But I've got some little cards as well, which have got the URL on them for the Facebook page, which I'll probably leave in the back. But I'll just show you this clip. And this is, again, a gift that God planted in my heart. And so that's something that I'm seeking to use with all my heart to share the gospel. So here it is.
I can honestly say that throughout my entire upbringing and life, even till up until a year ago, I have been subjected to abuse.
We had a lot of visitors come and go, friends and family, and it just became a perfect breeding ground for sexual predators.
As a little kid, I used to crawl up in my bed and say, oh man, I hope my dad doesn't come in and beat me, man.
Because sometimes you get so empty and lonely in your life that you just start hoping that someone's gonna come your way that can actually help you.
I was so devastated because I really love this person, and my view of males and sex and was just so marred and distorted, and I was very fearful of men.
That's the time you want your dad to not say to you, you know, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're useless, you're hopeless, I wish I never had you, boy.
And all of a sudden, my whole perspective of how I looked at myself in that moment changed. It changed from a grasshopper perspective, and all of a sudden I began to see myself as a giant killer.
I set the rope up in my garage, tied the noose, put my head through, and then I couldn't do it because I heard this voice say, don't do that.
For some reason, I just went on my knees and I put my hands out and I just said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need to give my life to you.
I remember starting 2001 afresh with God, and that's where my new life would start in Christ. Get free.